Filippo Miguel Noguera, Peter Curry's our engineers. You can go to our website at democracynow.org to get all the details. We will keep you updated there. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, this is Eve with the Concert Billboard for Tuesday, September 9th. Jim Moran jams again at DJ Riders in Oceanside, and that's at 10. And in New York City at the Knitting Factory, it's Consequence, GLC, Kid Cudi, and Big Sur. And looking ahead to Wednesday, September 10th, Donnie Salenza at Reflections in Rockville Center, that's at 10. The Smoke Daddies at Jesse's Roadhouse in Merrick at 9. The Sam Taylor Band at Barbecue in Patchogue at 7:30. Also in Patchogue, the Rhythm Kings at Papa Joe Shrimp and Crab Factory at 7. And Gary Sellers at the Brick House Brewery. Blue Matter jams at the Brightwaters Inn at 10. And Tommy Campo at Flynn's in Fire Island at 5:30. And in New York City, at the Knitting Factory, it's Nada Surf. At Sullivan Hall, it's Luke Mulholland and Live Pearl. And the Kooks are at the Bowery Ballroom. And here's today's quote of the day by Ray Davies of the Kinks. People take pictures of the summer just in case someone thought they had missed it and to prove that it really existed. Thank you for listening to the Concert Billboard and to WUSB in Stony Brook.
And you're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, where, nice that door is closed. It's 6:02 time for today's edition of Off the Wall. Sir, close the door. And very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall, and really, we have to close the door because, I know we don't have any air in here, but that mob is just simply out of control. Okay, I know why they're angry. I understand. Let's close it. All right. I know why the mob is angry. I don't know why they came here. But what we're going to do in the next hour is try our best to calm everybody down, because I know everybody's upset. Everyone's reeling from what they've heard. So let's just all try and act like adults. All right, and we'll get through this thing together. First, I really have to go through some important news items because people tune into this program for information. And we'd be remiss in our duties if we did not provide them that information. And there are some very important items here that you might not hear in other parts of the clock. What kind of way is that to talk? These people have got me so nervous out there. I mean, yeah, I know it's not me they're after, but still, I don't like mobs. Okay, this is very important, all right? Very important. This, I guess you could sort of consider this an amber alert of some sort. It's not really amber, though. It's what color is above amber? I know amber's not a color. That's the irony. Amber alert is not named for a color. It's not like orange alert or anything like that. It's named for a kid named Amber. But this it would either be like a red alert or a Fred alert, I guess, depending on which, if you're going with the color or the name. Has anybody seen Kim Jong-il? He's missing. The leader of North Korea, if you see him, please call us here at the radio station because we'd like to get the scoop on the story. It's area code 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. He apparently didn't show up yesterday, or actually today, earlier today. It's nighttime there now. Actually, it's probably morning there now. But whatever, they're way ahead of us, at least in terms of clocks and dates and things like that. But he didn't show up for the 60th anniversary of North Korea. It's kind of an important thing. I've been there. I know people take these anniversaries very seriously, always having parades, always getting involved with various celebrations, and he didn't show up. Now, apparently the rumor going around is that he's been suffering from serious health problems. He may have had a stroke even. So it's especially important if you see him wandering around out there to notify somebody. U.S. National Security Council spokesman Gordon Jandro is beside himself with worry. He said the White House is aware of the reports, has no additional information. They're putting together a team to go searching everywhere for Kim Jong-il. Now, there have been reports that Kim suffers from heart disease and diabetes, but he has denied these, except he hasn't denied them recently because nobody knows where he is. Filling in for him at the parade was the second in command of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, all hail DPRK, Kim Jong-nam. And Kim was also absent at events on the eve of the anniversary, including a meeting of government officials. I don't know how they know that. It's not like they go around bragging. North Koreans, despite this, filled Pyongyang's main square, which can hold around 100,000 people. Participating in the parade, and this is rather interesting, were paramilitary troops, which are not part of North Korea's regular army. There were no members of the regular army, navy, or air force, according to media reports. There were anti-aircraft and anti-tank artillery on display, but no tanks or missiles. So something's up. Something's up, and Kim Jong-il is somewhere. We'll try to find out where and bring that news to you. Okay, what else? There are, we all know there are elections coming up. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. I know. We're going to talk. Don't worry. But the elections coming up are in our neighbor to the north. That's right. Prime Minister Stephen Harper has basically dissolved Parliament. He did this on, Sunday? And elections will be held on October 14th. Now, why can't we do things like that here? You know, we've had this damn election, this campaign going on for 2 years, and everybody's just watching, everything grinds to a halt, and over there, they act swiftly and decisively. Okay, Parliament, that's it, go home, we're having a new election on October 14th. And this is the third national election that they're going to be having in just over 4 years, so they really are interested in what the people have to say. They keep asking them over and over again, what do you think, how are we doing? And basically putting new people in power or keeping old people in power. Yeah, it's all a power play. It's all politics. But it's interesting. And it's fast. They don't spend their entire lives talking about the same thing over and over and over again. And we're certainly not going to do that here. Certainly going to try not to do that here anyway. Okay, and one other thing. Come on. Close it. All right. One other thing is that, well, it may all be a moot point anyway, because, well, the world might be ending tomorrow. Yeah, let me just let that sink in for a second. The world might be ending tomorrow through no fault of ours here at Stony Brook or the station or even here in this country, I don't think. This is happening underground in, well, between France and Switzerland. The world's largest particle accelerator complex, they plan on exploring the world on smaller scales than any human invention has ever explored before. The Large Hadron Collider, that's the best adjective they could come up with, the large, I'm going to call it Hadron from now on, I like saying that better than Hadron, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Large Hadron Collider. We'll look at how the universe formed by analyzing particle collisions. Some have expressed fears that the project could lead to the Earth's demise. What an understatement. Something scientists say will not happen. Oh, well, okay, fine. Thank you very much. Thanks for that reassurance there. But skeptics have filed suit to try to stop the project. That's how we save the Earth, by filing lawsuits. Yeah, the Earth is about to be sucked into a black hole, but you know what? We're going to file a civil suit to prevent that. You can't stop a black hole. You just can't. Of course, you can stop one that a bunch of people are going to start unintentionally. This reads like every science fiction story I think I've ever seen. Where some military experiment is put into operation and it destroys the Earth because, well, they just didn't know any better. Well, scientists say the collider is finally ready for an attempt to circulate a beam of protons the whole way around the 17-mile tunnel. The test, which will be taking place tomorrow, is a major step towards seeing if the immense experiment will provide new information about the way the universe works. It's really a generation that we've been looking forward to, this moment, and the moments that will come after it in particular, said Bob Cousins, who is deputy to the scientific leader of the Compact, I don't even know how to say that word, M-U-O-N? Compact Muon? It's like somebody spelled the moon wrong. Compact Muon Solenoid Experiment, one of six experiments inside the Collider Complex. Remember, it only takes for one of them to go horribly wrong for us to experience what it's like to get sucked through a black hole. September 10th is a... You couldn't even wait for another September 11th to go by. You had to pick September 10th. September 10th is a demarcation between finishing the construction and starting to turn it on, but the excitement will only continue to grow. I don't know. Does that sound like a threat? The collider consists of a particle accelerator buried more than 300 feet near Geneva, Switzerland. About $10 billion have gone into the accelerator's construction, the particle detectors, and the computers. In the coming months, the collider is expected to begin smashing particles into each other by sending two beams of protons around the tunnel in opposite directions. It will operate at higher energies and intensities in the next year, and the experiments could generate enough data to make a discovery by 2009. A discovery of some sort. The collider will recreate the conditions of less than a millionth of a second after the Big Bang, when there was a hot soup of tiny particles called quarks and gluons, to look at how the universe evolved. I don't know. It seems a bit presumptuous that we're going to be able to create the conditions that took place less than a millionth of a second after the Big Bang, and we're going to be able to do it right beneath France and Switzerland. And we're going to somehow be able to keep that from causing... Shouldn't we at least do some research and find out what caused the first Big Bang? You know, if it was another experiment like that on some other planet? Would be nice just to get a definitive word that that's not how it went. Anyway, this is exploratory science, for those of you who are worried. The collider may uncover surprises that contradict prevailing theories, but which are just as interesting. That's according to a theoretical physicist at the Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory. Now, what could be more of a surprise uncovered that contradicts prevailing theories than having the entire thing sucked into a black hole as we look around us in horror. I just wonder how long would that take? You know, if they say, oh, God, we were wrong. Can you make a telephone call at least, or tell somebody over here in the States that a black hole's coming and what exactly we can expect as a result? When Columbus sails west, This guy's a scientist. He can't even get the tense right. He sailed west. He's done. When Columbus sailed west, he thought he was going to find something. He didn't find what he thought he was going to find, but he did find something interesting. How many times are you going to say find in the same sentence there? My goodness. Anyway, why should the layperson care about this particular exploration? Well, years ago, when electrons were first identified, no one knew what they were good for. But they have since transformed our entire economy. That's according to Howard Gordon, Deputy Research Program Manager for the Collider's Atlas Experiment. The transformative effect of this research will be to understand the world we live in much better. It's important for just who we are, what we are. Now, I'm reading this story off the CNN website here, and they have a little subtitle that says, "Black hole fears are baloney," in quotes. But just the baloney part. Fears have emerged that the collider could produce black holes that could suck up anything around them, including the whole Earth. Such fears prompted legal actions in the U.S. and Europe to halt the operation of the Large Hadron Collider, alleging safety concerns regarding black holes and other phenomena that could theoretically emerge. Although physicists acknowledge that the collider could, in theory, create small black holes, they say they do not pose any risk. Did you know that? Small black holes do not pose any risk. So if you're hanging out with a bunch of small black holes, you no longer have to worry about being sucked into one of them. Apparently, they're manageable. A study released Friday by CERN scientists explains that any black hole created would be tiny and would not have enough energy to stick around very long before dissolving. Yeah. Now, but what if a bunch of these tiny black holes got together and formed a moderately sized black, you know, it could escalate, especially if they feel threatened. Anyway, they say the gravitational force is so weak that you'd have to wait, and this is a quote, many, 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 many lifetimes of the universe before one of these things could get big enough to even get close to being a problem. Well, when you phrase things in such theoretical, I'm sorry, sort of scientific terms, and use such reassuring language as many repeated five times, how can you argue with that? Anyway, tomorrow should be an interesting day. I look forward to seeing what's going on. You know, I would think that the impending destruction of the entire Earth would get you more angry than the other story, but apparently not. Okay, what I'm going to do for you guys, all right, what I'm going to do for all the people out there, all right, if you just calm down for a second, I want you to listen to this piece, all right? This is a piece, no, you're all upset about politics and things like that. I understand. I feel the same way, all right? Just shut the door. All right, since they're not going to listen to me directly. You're all concerned about politics? All right, let's at least learn something about poetry, about political poetry, how it's done, all right? Because I think that puts things into perspective, and then you're a little bit more level-headed. You can approach the issues of the day without freaking out quite as much, okay? So just listen to this brief lecture, and then we'll come back, and, okay, we'll tackle it head-on.
However it starts, it's got to be loud, and then it's got to get a little bit louder. But this is how you write a political poem and how you deliver it with power. Mix current events with platitudes of empowerment. Wrap it up in rhyme, or rhyme it up in rap until it sounds cool. Glare until it sinks in. Because somewhere in Florida, votes are still being counted. I said, somewhere in Florida, votes are still being counted. See, that's your hook. You gotta have a hook. More than the look, it's the hook that's the most important part. Hook's gotta fit. Hook's gotta hit. Hook's gotta hit hard in the heart. Because somewhere in Florida, votes are still being counted. And Dick Cheney is peeing all over himself in spasmodic glee. See what I did? Make fun of politicians. It's easy. Especially with Republicans like Rudolph Giuliani, Colin Powell, and Al Gore. Ooh, see what I did? I called Al Gore a Republican. That must mean that my political sensibilities are much more finely tuned than yours. Talk about idiotic juxtapositions of political personalities and ideologies, as if communism really were the opposite of democracy. As if we needed a Ralph Nader, not a Darth Vader. Amazing grace, how... Stop in the middle of a song that everybody knows and loves. This will give your poem a sense of urgency. Because there is always a sense of urgency in a political poem. There is no time to waste. Corruption doesn't have a curfew. Greed doesn't care what color you are. And the New York City Police Department is filled with police officers who carry guns on their hips and metal badges over their hearts. Remember, injustice isn't injustice. It's just in us, just as injustice is just in ice. Yeah! That is the only alien nation of this alien nation where you either fight for free, dumb, or else you are free but dumb. Here in Freeborn Hall, where you are born free or free born and born and free. Yeah! And somewhere in Florida, votes are still being counted. And it makes me wanna I have seen devastation of gentrification, and I can talk with great articulation about cosmic constellations and atomic radiation. I saw D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation, but I prefer Disney's 102 Dalmatians. And like a cross-examination, I can give you the explanation of why films like Slam Nation are the ultimate manifestation of poetical ejaculation and egotistical manipulation and other things that rhyme like Asian with Haitian and this nation. And maybe it's true that they are still counting votes in Florida, but at the end of a political poem, that just doesn't matter anymore, because all you have to do to end a political poem is get real quiet, close your eyes, and end by saying the same line three times, the same line three times, the same line three times.
All right. Those words of wisdom coming from Sage Francis, and I hope that taught you all something out there. All right. Okay. Now, to get to the meat of the matter. All right. Yes, we know. We know. We've heard the news. It happened today. I don't understand it any more than any of you understand it. Okay. So don't look to us for answers. All right. McCain is ahead in the polls. Yeah. I know. Look, I'd be out there with you right now. But I can't be. I got to be here. I have to be the voice of reason. He's ahead in the national polls. I don't know what's wrong with this country. How is this possible? It doesn't make any sense. Oh, yeah. I expected a bump after the Republican convention. Seriously, I can't concentrate with all the shouting. Just all right. You can keep shouting just behind the door. Thank you. I saw parts of the convention and, Sarah Palin gave a nice little speech, but it doesn't erase the fact, doesn't erase any of the facts that these people are not qualified at all. You got doddering McCain, who just simply knows how to follow George W. Bush and start wars and point to his record of torture, both giving it and receiving it. And you have Sarah Palin, who mayor of a small town and governor of a small state, and apparently the heartthrob of people all over the country. And that's not enough. I'm sorry. It's just not enough. But we'll get into that in a second. Let me just say something. Let me just say something to reassure folks out there, because obviously there is still a lot of concern over this. Let me just say, all right, you listening? This doesn't matter. Oh, okay, yeah, it doesn't matter. I have attention now. This does not matter at all. Let me just read what the story said, first of all right? Senator McCain is inched ahead of Senator Barack Obama in national polls. All right, he leads by 2 points, 47 to 45. That's according to a CNN poll released last night. Now, basically, we've been seeing these polls for the last few months, and I've always been kind of surprised by how close they are. You know, it was 48-47 Obama in like a week ago or something like that. And yeah, I know. And now it's, it was inevitable that it would go this way. It was inevitable. But you're not going to hear what I have to say to calm you down, all right, if you don't calm down. All right. It's worrying. Can you imagine? I know. Can you imagine what would happen if after all of this, we wound up with McCain and Palin in power. I mean, what kind of message would that send to the world? What kind of message would that send to us, to our children, to our unborn fetuses, to all these people? Just that change is impossible. And I love how they've latched on to the word change, how they've taken that for themselves. They're actually expecting people to believe that they're going to bring change to Washington, D.C., when in actuality, they're just going to bring more of the same evangelical nonsense that we've been dealing with for the past 8 years and longer. Nothing's going to change. Well, it might change. It will get worse for sure. But, okay. So, yeah, it's depressing. And I got to say, I don't have very much faith in my fellow American here for even buying into this nonsense for a second. And so many people are. So many people are just buying into it. They see a new face and they think, wow, it's the president from Battlestar Galactica. And she was pretty cool. So this woman must be cool, too. Doesn't work that way, folks. You got to look at more than that. You got to look at more in the pretty face and the words that don't really mean a whole lot. You got to look at issues. You got to look at what people say when confronted with questions. You know, she has not actually answered questions. Have you seen her dealing with hard-hitting questions directed straight to her? No, not once. This is like George W. Bush all over again. She's avoiding that. She did not appear on any of the talk shows on Sunday. All the other people, Biden and Obama and even McCain, showed up on the talk shows because that's what you do. She didn't. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? She's still learning. She's still learning the names of all the states and the names of the leaders and what countries are in what particular status as far as enemy or friend. And what do you think? Libya is now our friend. Wow, that's surprising to me too. Okay, but seriously, not to prolong this any longer. Depressing, yes. But will this make you feel better? Obama 327, McCain 206. Huh? Yeah, that's like a basketball game gone out of control, but it's a good score. It's a healthy lead. Now, what is that lead? My friends, that is the lead that, for whatever reason, that is the lead that counts. That is how our bizarre system of government is set up. Do you remember 2000? Do you remember what happened? Al Gore won the popular vote, but he lost the electoral vote. Well, now the tide has turned. I don't know about this popular vote, and maybe these polls are just askew. I know what they do is they ask 1,000 people. All right, you know, I don't know if you're getting a random sampling that way or just what exactly you're getting. It's disturbing, to say the least. But if you look at the polls state by state, and then you take the electoral votes that come with that state. For instance, let's look at California. California, the most recent poll was taken on August the 21st. Now, yes, mind you, this is all before Sarah Palin was announced. You would think that would make the numbers get bigger, but instead, with our short attention span society, it's actually drawing things closer. But even with that, still a healthy lead. California right now, 51% for Barack Obama, 37% for John McCain. Obviously, that's a substantial lead. But it doesn't matter if it was 51 to 50. Well, actually, if it was 51 to 50, that would be an electronic voting machine. That would be 51 to 49, let's say that. No matter what it was, all the electoral votes for California would go to Barack Obama. That's 55 votes right there. Now, 55, that's a lot of votes. In fact, that's the largest. The largest block, and it's a pretty healthy lead right there. So you look at all the states. Let's look at New York. That's where we are right now. The last poll conducted August 14th, 47% for Barack Obama, 39% for John McCain. Another fairly good-sized lead. I don't think this state's going to go for McCain. That's 31 electoral votes right there. So what you do is you add all the electoral votes up, and then you see where you stand. So even though I believe it should be a popular vote, it should be what people say, and I'm very distressed by what people are saying, it doesn't matter because of this electoral college system that we've got. And that is what McCain has to get around if he expects to win this thing. No one's really talking about this. They're talking about this neck and neck race because, well, I guess that makes it more exciting. But if you look at it this way, you see that it's a pretty healthy lead, but there's a big asterisk next to that. There are some what they call swing states. And if you lose enough swing states, well, you pretty much lose the election. Now, This is where attention should be focused. If you know people in these states, then you need to talk to them. You need to talk some sense into them. You really do. Our vote here in New York, I mean, voting is important, but for this, it's not going to count. Because the state is probably going to be going for a Barack Obama. Most definitely will be. Now, of course, if everybody said that, then the state wouldn't go for him. But the place where your vote really counts is a swing state. So if you are in a swing state, or you know people are in a swing state, and you feel strongly about this election, or if you feel strongly about not getting certain people into power, then you have an obligation to try and influence things because you can. You actually can in this particular case. Look at Florida. The poll there, 45% for Barack Obama, 44% for John McCain. Obviously, Florida is a contentious state. Obviously, that is going to be one that's watched on November 4th. 27 electoral votes there at stake. So whoever gets it, if they win by one vote, they get all the electoral votes. That's how it works. Only two exceptions in the entire United States to that. But those two states, which I think Arkansas is one. I forget what the states are, but it's never happened where they've split the electoral vote. So it's kind of meaningless. Other states, Ohio, 44 to 43. Michigan, 43 to 41. Again, McCain makes gains in those places, and all of a sudden he's picking up 20 electoral votes, 17 electoral votes. North Carolina, well, that's going the other way. 45% for McCain, 42% for Barack Obama. So that's a state where Barack Obama needs to work on getting more votes. Virginia, 47 for Barack Obama, 45 for John McCain. Indiana goes the other way. 42 Obama, 46 McCain. Minnesota, slight lead for Obama, 47 to 45. Colorado, neck and neck, 42-43. And where else? Nevada. Nevada is all tied up, 41-41. So if you really want to make a difference, it's only five electoral votes at stake there, but still, doesn't take many people to sway it over one way or another. Every vote counts. So if you're thinking of moving to Nevada, now's the time to do it. And you can. You can move to a state and register to vote. And we'll get into that in a second, too, because that's a very important step a lot of people don't take. New Hampshire, closer than you might think, 43 for Barack Obama, 42 for McCain. South Dakota, 40 to 44 in favor of McCain. Montana, also in favor of McCain, 44 to 45. And North Dakota, also in favor of McCain, 42-45. So all of these states are battleground states. So examples of some states that are not battleground states. Really, I'd like to know what's going on over there. Wyoming, 62% for McCain, 25% for Barack Obama. Utah has the biggest gap, 62% for McCain, 23% for Barack Obama. They're really afraid of Barack Obama in Utah. Not much you can do there. Not much you can do there. You got to work long term to fix Utah, but he ain't going to win the electoral votes there. That's five electoral votes he's not going to get in November. Kansas, 58, McCain, 35, Barack Obama. Oklahoma, 56-24, and Tennessee, 56-32. These are big gaps. Now, Barack Obama doesn't have as many huge gaps like that. In fact, the only one I found two. Hawaii, 61-31, that's his home state, or one of his home states. That's kind of understandable. And Vermont, 63-29. Kind of funny how they're right next door to New Hampshire, which is neck and neck. So obviously the battleground state, and the thing is, there could be more battleground states. I was listening earlier to some reports about New Jersey. Well, according to this, New Jersey is 51-41 in favor of Barack Obama, but the lead is narrowing. The lead is narrowing because of this whole Sarah Palin nonsense. So your vote in New Jersey is important. It matters. But if you're in any of the really, really close states, Florida, Ohio, Michigan, North Carolina, Virginia, Indiana, Minnesota, Colorado, Nevada, New Hampshire, South Dakota, Montana, and North Dakota. All those states could go either way, and that could be enough right there. That could be enough. And if you're in a state that is not that close, it could get closer. Only people in states where it's double-digit lead many times over, those are the only people whose vote really probably won't matter at all. But the rest of us should pay attention. Anyway, all you got to do is Google for the Electoral College. Actually, just Google for statewide polls between Barack Obama and John McCain, and you'll get the real picture as to what's going on. What, they dispersed? Really? Oh, that's amazing. I've never calmed the crowd down like that before. There's only four people left. We must have had like 50 or something in there before. Okay, that's... I hope they're going out now to get people registered in those states. And, get some work done. All right, now there's only three people. Good. There's a lot of work to be done. It's only 2 months. Hard to believe, but 2 months are left. Now, there's a lot of controversy about registering to vote, particularly at college campuses. Now, there are some places where they won't let you vote if you're a felon. Fortunately, New York is not one of them. There are some places that won't let you vote if you're on probation or if you're on supervised release. And with so many people being in prison for so many things these days, that does constitute a large number of people. Many states, though, will allow you to vote. Some states, I think Maine is one of them, even allow you to vote in prison. I mean, how awesome is that? Well, it's not that awesome, but still, it's kind of an enlightened approach. You just have to check to see if you can vote, depending on what kind of a criminal you are. But for those of you in school who have not yet started your life of crime, registering to vote can be a real hassle. I remember here at Stony Brook, it was a real pain trying to get legislation passed that it would allow people to vote from their schools. And that's important because let's say you go to school in, New York, and you come from Texas. You're not going to go all the way home to Texas to vote. So you got to vote where you live. But there are people trying to stop that. People trying to say that, listen to this. Listen to this story that was in yesterday's New York Times. Late last month, as a voter registration drive by supporters of Senator Barack Obama was signing up thousands of students at Virginia Tech, the local registrar of elections issued two releases, incorrectly suggesting a range of dire possibilities for students who registered to vote at their college. Now, keep in mind, Virginia is one of those swing states. Yeah. The releases warned that such students could no longer be claimed as dependents on their parents' tax returns, a statement the IRS says is incorrect. Or they could lose scholarships or coverage under their parents' car and health insurance. Now, after some inquiries from students and parents, and more pointed questions from civil rights lawyers, the State Board of Elections said on Friday that it was modifying and clarifying the state guidelines on which the county registrar had based his releases. But, you know, there are so many different counties and so many different registrars, and they all say different things, and people listen to them. And people are turned away as a result and turned off from voting as a result. And a lot of people just don't bother. And if they did, that would make a difference. If every college student in America voted, that would decide the election right there. No question about it. One way or another. Anyway, regarding these guidelines, civil rights lawyers say they're problematic and they could infringe on students' rights. What the State Board of Elections has on its website, to me, sounds like it is discouraging students from registering at their school address. That's the Virginia State website. And that's according to John Greenbaum, director of the Voting Rights Project at the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Greenbaum's Voting Rights Project has been involved in other student registration cases. Last fall in Statesboro, Georgia, in a hotly contested city council race, there were challenges to the registration of about 1,000 Georgia Southern University students who had used dormitory addresses. We threatened suit, but the issue went away when they figured out that the challenges weren't going to affect the results of the election, said Greenbaum. And that's really what it takes. Well, it doesn't matter. It's not going to make a difference. So we're not going to try and get these votes overturned. That tells you what the motivation is right there, what it is they're hoping to achieve. In 2003, in Waller County, Texas, the district attorney wrote a column in a local newspaper threatening to prosecute students at Prairie View A&M, a historically black university, for illegal voting. The project sued, and the district attorney backed down. In the 1970s, that same county required Prairie View students who wanted to register to fill out a questionnaire asking, among other things, whether they owned property in the county, had an automobile registered there, or belonged to any church, club, or organization unrelated to the college. A challenge to that practice led the Supreme Court to uphold students' rights to vote at their college address. So you all have that right. Don't let anybody take that right from you. And the deadline is not passed for registering to vote. Let's take a look at New York. The deadline in New York, Friday, October 10th. You have time. Don't have a lot of time, but you do have time. And these are also the deadlines for changing your address, too. So if you're registered in a different state and you want to register here, you can do this. But you have to contact your Board of Elections. It does matter. Now, some states, you're able to register at the polls. I think Idaho is one of those, and Minnesota, various other places. But some states aren't. But there is not a single state that does not have a deadline earlier than October. So you have a bit of time. Everybody is eligible in every state. Don't let people tell you you're not. And that just makes such a difference when people realize they do have that kind of power. All right. So, yeah, I guess feeling a little bit of crisis mode here, only because I guess I overestimated the intelligence of people. You know, I mean, Sarah Palin has not said anything of significance other than a lot of histrionics, you know, and catchphrases and things like that. But nothing significant. It's funny because that's what they were accusing Barack Obama of in the early days of his campaign. No longer accusing him of that because they've got somebody to top him. Let's take a look at some of the history. And this is actually, in fact, I want to just touch on this for a second. You know, Google's scanning microfilm from the historic archives of newspapers. You ever go into the library and you see the New York Times on one of those microfilm spools? It's kind of cool. You get to sort of fast forward through it and find old advertisements from 1942. And you look at this this newspaper, the way it looked when it came out. And it's pretty cool. You used to do that for assignments in school. But it's a pain to have to trudge down to the library to do this. And those machines get awfully hot. And sometimes the microfilm breaks. Wouldn't it be nice if you could do this on the internet? Well, apparently that day is coming. Because Google's scanning the microfilm from those archives to make them searchable online, first through Google News and eventually on the paper's own websites. Now, Google will shoulder the cost of digitizing newspaper archives, much as the company does with its book scanning project. And this time they got permission before they started scanning, which they didn't do for the books. Now, they say this is really good for newspapers because, according to Google, we're going to be bringing online an old generation of contributions from journalists, as well as widening the reader base of news archives. So imagine that. Imagine you're able to just go online and search newspapers and find things from the past. I've been doing this over the past week or so. I've been scanning newspapers in Alaska, and some of them are pretty interesting. Now, some of them, like the Anchorage Daily News, they have a great search engine. You type in Sarah Palin and you see all the articles about her, but you have to pay something like $3 for each one, or if you pay $1,000, you can get like a couple hundred or something. It's not good. It's not good to have to pay that much just to read something that was in a newspaper. If you go to a library, you can read it for free, obviously. So if anybody has access, this is what you do. You go to the newspapers of Fairbanks, Juneau, Anchorage, and Wasilla, the town she lived in or lives in. You look in those newspapers. You see what was said. You read the letters. You read the editorials. You find out some very interesting things. Here's a story. Here's a story that appeared in a newspaper called The Frontiersman. Actually, I'm just going to read part of it because it's a rather long story. But this appeared in 1996, December 18th, 1996. In the wake of strong reactions from the city's library director to inquiries about censorship, Wasilla Mayor Sarah Palin on Monday was taking pains to explain her questions about censoring library material, saying they were rhetorical. Library Director Mary Ellen Emmons last week said Palin broached the subject with her on two occasions in October. Once Palin was elected mayor October 1st, but before she took office on October 14th, and again in more detail on Monday, October 28th. Besides heading the Wasilla City Library, Emmons is also president of the Alaska Library Association. The issue became public last Wednesday when Palin brought it up during an interview about the now-defunct Liquor Task Force. Palin used the library topic as an example of discussions with her department heads about understanding and following administration agendas. Palin said she asked Emmons how she would respond to censorship. Emmons drew a clear distinction Saturday between the nature of Palin's inquiries and an established book challenge policy in place in Wasilla and in most public libraries. "I'm not trying to suppress anyone's views," Emmons said, "but I told her," meaning Palin, clearly, "I will fight anyone who tries to dictate what books can go on the library shelves." Well, I'm not going to go through the whole story here, but suffice to say that she was fired shortly after that by Palin. Now, there was quite an uproar, and the librarian was able to keep her job. She held on to it for a while and eventually wound up resigning shortly before Palin was reelected. But it goes to show, and some of the reaction to this, this was reposted on the Frontiersman. Go to frontiersman.com. You'll see some of these articles reposted from the 90s. And some of the comments are really rather interesting. "We should be very afraid of Mayor Palin being given any more power than she has already. Thank you for providing primary source and factual information that I can use for decision making." And that's really what it's all about, primary source and factual information. Because this is what happened. This is history. This is what you have to look at. Another comment: "Is this about censorship or just a raw grab for power? Either way, Palin scares me." And, you know, there's reason for her to be scary. The way that she acted upon being elected. Basically insisting that that all these people, all these officials resign as a show of loyalty or something crazy like that. Wow. "Sarah Palin is a very smart woman in that she tests the waters with veiled innuendo to intimidate others. But make no mistake, the threat is real and intimidation does work more often than not. In the end, Mrs. Palin still can deny any threat was made. A tyrant is still a tyrant, even in lipstick." And this comment here: "Wow, so many questions about censorship from a newly elected small-town mayor, don't you think?" Yeah, really. It's one of the first things that she dove into. Very strange. Now, if you look on the internet, type in the name. Did I write down the name? Yes, this is actually somebody who knew Sarah Palin. Actually, everybody in her town knew her. Everyone's on a first-name basis. Ann Kilkenny. That's spelled K-I-L-K-E-N-N-Y. If you Google that name, you'll find this piece floating around called "An Alaskan's Opinion." Now, this has been accused of being an urban legend. It's not. This is real. The person has been contacted and has confirmed that she did, in fact, say all these things. Way too long to read here, but a lot of interesting opinions, both positive and negative. But the negative ones, obviously, you have to focus on and ask yourself if this is something you should be concerned about. And yeah, you know, I think there's a lot here you should be concerned about. This from the New York Times. "The world arrived here more than a century ago, arrived here in Wasilla, Alaska, with the gold rush and later the railroad. Yet one aspect of American life did not come to town until 1996, the year Sarah Palin ran for mayor, and Wasilla got its first local lesson in wedge politics." Wedge politics. "The traditional turning points that had decided municipal elections in this town of less than 7,000 people, like should we pave dirt roads, should we put in sewers, which candidate is your hunting buddy, they seemed all but obsolete the year Ms. Palin, then 32, challenged the three-term incumbent, John Stein. Anti-abortion flyers circulated. Ms. Palin played up her church work and her membership in the National Rifle Association. The state Republican Party, never involved before because city elections are nonpartisan, ran advertisements on Ms. Palin's behalf." We mentioned this last week, in fact. 2 years after Representative Newt Gingrich helped draft the Contract with America to advance Republican positions, Ms. Palin and her passion for Republican ideology and religious faith overtook a town known for a wide libertarian streak and for helping start the Iditarod sled dog race. Sarah comes in with all this ideological stuff, and I was like, whoa, said Mr. Stein. Yeah, you can tell this isn't big city politics here when you can say that. I was like, whoa. So Stein lost the election. And he continues, that got her elected. Abortion, gun rights, term limits, and the religious born-again thing. I'm not a church-going guy, and that was another issue. We will have our first Christian mayor, in quotes. Apparently that was one of the things being said. I thought, holy cow, what's happening here? Does that mean she thinks I'm Jewish or Islamic? Recalled Mr. Stein, who was raised Lutheran and later went to work as the administrator for the city of Sitka in southeast Alaska. The point was that she was a born-again Christian. Now, for all the admiration in Alaska for Ms. Palin, her rapid ascent from an activist in the PTA to the running mate of Senator John McCain did not come without battle wounds. Her years in Wasilla, her first executive experience, reveal a mix of successes and stumbles, with Ms. Palin gaining support from a majority of residents for her drive, her faith, and her accessibility, but alienating others with what they said could be a polarizing single-mindedness. Now, her supporters say she helped Wasilla evolve from a ridiculed backwater to a fast-growing suburb. The population of about 5,000 during her tenure as mayor has grown to nearly 10,000 now, and the city is filling with big box stores, including a Target that's scheduled to open on October 12th. But her critics say too much growth too quickly has made a mess of what not long ago was homesteaded farmland. And for some, Ms. Palin's first months in office were so jarring and so alienating that an effort was made to force a recall. About 100 people attended a meeting to discuss the effort. And in a town of 5,000 people, that's not a small crowd. It's a bigger crowd than we had outside. About 100 people attended that meeting. It was covered in the local press, but the idea was eventually dropped. Now, shortly after becoming mayor, former city officials and Wasilla residents said Ms. Palin approached the town librarian about the possibility of banning some books, though she never followed through, and it was unclear which books or passages were in question. Ann Kilkenny, a Democrat who said she attended every city council meeting in Ms. Palin's first year in office, said Ms. Palin brought up the idea of banning some books at one meeting. They were somehow morally or socially objectionable to her, Ms. Kilkenny said. The librarian, Mary Ellen Emmons, pledged to resist all efforts at censorship. That's according to Ms. Kilkenny's memory. Ms. Palin fired Ms. Emmons shortly after taking office, but changed course after residents made a strong show of support. Ms. Emmons, who left her job in Wasilla a couple of years later, declined to comment. So, yeah, you know, these are disturbing things. And I'm sure there are more disturbing things. The thing is, how much do you actually know about somebody who comes from such a small town? You got to do some digging. Even John McCain didn't do this digging. As we reported last week, nobody was asked anything. None of the government officials in Alaska. So many people were just overlooked. You could almost consider this an act of desperation, but what I'm afraid of is that it might work. It might work because people are so turned off by what they see as regular politicians that they're almost willing to just give the job to anyone. And in some cases, maybe that would be a good thing, but no, not in this case. Really, not in this case. All right, let me close with just a little bit more pessimism. From a story that just came out. When it comes to support for Republican vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin, a new national poll suggests men and women don't see eye to eye. 62% of men questioned. 62% of men questioned have a favorable opinion of the Alaska governor. 9 points higher than women. Oh my God, I'm in the minority of men. I'm not used to that. The poll was conducted Friday through Sunday, entirely after the end of the Republican convention, and 23% of men have an unfavorable view of Senator John McCain's running mate, 7 points lower than women. The gender gap is also apparent when it comes to whether Palin is qualified to serve as president. 57% of male respondents said Palin was qualified. Oh my God. How do you reach this conclusion? 14 percentage points lower which is, 43% of women said that, which I think it's still too high. Now, get this. In the current poll, 57% overall had a favorable opinion of Palin, 6 points higher than Joe Biden. Now, what would happen if Americans could cast separate votes for president and vice president? Palin would top Biden by 53 to 44%, based largely on the votes of men. Okay, but that's not how it works again, so that's rather pointless. But it does kind of scare me. It makes people seem so able to be manipulated. Simply because somebody is able to come out of nowhere and say attacking things and have a few sound bites. Okay, great. You can do that. Let's see some debates. There's only one debate, unfortunately, scheduled between Sarah Palin and Joe Biden. And, you know, it's amazing because Joe Biden obviously knows so much more about the world and about the country. He's been serving for 35 years in national office, but he could come on too strong, or he could somehow seem unlikable, and Sarah Palin could get an advantage, especially among those men who just keep thinking of the president from Battlestar Galactica. But again, it comes down to McCain versus Obama, and that's really what it's all about. And hopefully those debates, including one here on Long Island, will go well and contentious, and the facts will come out. The important thing, though, is to get involved. The important thing is to care and not to give up, because so many people want you to give up. All right, you can write to us, otw@2600.com. Let us know your experiences, especially if you're trying to register to vote, especially if you're in one of those swing states. If you're in a swing state, talk to people. Note I'm not telling you how to tell people to vote for one candidate or another, but I think you know where I stand on this. I think that made that rather clear. But regardless, you do have power. You have power if you're a student. You have power if you're in a swing state. You even have power if you're in Utah. Just not exactly sure how. See you next week.
Of the condition of human suffering and untold pain. The atrocities of war make my stomach turn. Volunteers on the earth like burning acid rain. Why has it been so long since anyone's noticed? Been so long since anyone's cared. We watch and wait as the world keeps turning. Hope and a greed will consume us all. The world today is like a closed-in box for those who have nothing but war-torn streets. Shine a ray of hope, a lot into their lives. Deep inside your heart, may they find the relief. Why has it been so long since anyone's noticed? Been so long since anyone's cared. We watch and wait as the world keeps turning. Hope and our greed will consume us all. Hate can never cease by hate in this world. In this I know, so I'm gonna give you these words.
Give it that word.
Hope that you listen to me, cause hate can never cease by hate. And face the faces of death in a place where men die of disease and starvation. Psycho warfare, politicians' tool. We'll let them pass the torch to the new data right.
Why has it been so long since anyone's noticed? Been so long since anyone's cared. We watch and wait as the world keeps turning. Hope and a dream will consume us all. Been so long since anyone's noticed. Been so long since anyone's cared. We watch and wait as the world keeps. Hope and greed will consume us all. Why has it been so long?
Kids, you're listening to WUSB and Stony Brook Finn with you. This is Finn's Revolution. And yes, make sure you do get out and vote. However you are voting, make sure you do get out and vote. Make sure you do register in this state before October 10th. This is Andy Partridge right here in WUSB Stony Brook.
Orange and lemon. together, just like fruit and from a tree.